The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Generously pardon and give peace to your faithful people, O Lord, that being cleansed from every sin, we may be free and glad to serve through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated for our readings.
The first reading is from Isaiah chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. Let me sing for my beloved my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it and hewed a vine vat on in it. And he looked for it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? When I looked for it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? And now I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it shall be devoured. I will break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will make it a waste, it shall not be pruned or hoed, and briars and thorns shall grow up. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are his pleasant planting. And he looked for justice, but behold, bloodshed, for righteousness, but behold, an outcry. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We'll read responsibly Psalm chapter 80, verses 7 through 18. Restore us, O God of hosts.
Show the light of your countenance, and we shall be saved.
You have brought a vine out of Egypt.
You cast out the nations and planted it.
You prepared the ground for it.
It took root and filled the land.
The mountains were covered by its shadow,
and the towering cedar trees by its boughs.
You stretched out its tendrils to the sea,
and its branches to the river.
Why have you broken down its wall?
So that all who pass by pluck off its grapes.
The wild boar of the forest has ravaged it,
and the beasts of the field have grazed upon it.
Turn now, O God of hosts. Look down from heaven, behold and tend this vine.
Preserve
what your right hand has planted.
They burn it with fire like rubbish.
And the rebuke of the countenance let them perish.
Let your hand be upon the man of your right hand.
The Son of Man you have made so strong for yourself.
And so will we never turn away from you.
Give us life that we may call upon your name.
Restore us, O Lord God of hosts.
Show the light of your countenance, and we shall be saved.
The second reading is from Philippians chapter 3, verses 4b through 14. If anyone else thinks he has a reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Jesus Christ has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies ahead and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise if you're able to do so.
Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? Alleluia.
Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 21st chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the chief priests and elders of the people, "Hear another parable. There was a master of a house who planted a vineyard and put a fence around it and dug a wine press in it and built a tower and leased it to tenants and went to another country. When the season for fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to get his fruit. And the tenants took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. Again, he sent another servant, more than the first, and they did the same to them. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, 'They will respect my son.' But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and have his inheritance.' And they took him, and they threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. When therefore the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? They said to him, 'He will put those wretches to a miserable death and let out the vineyard to the other tenants who will give him the first fruits of their season.' Jesus said to them, 'Have you never read in Scripture, 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing its fruits. And the one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces. And when it falls on anyone, it will crush him.' When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard this parable, they perceived that he was speaking about them. And although they were seeking to arrest him, they feared the crowds because they held him to be a prophet." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Brothers and sisters of Christ, grace and mercy and peace are yours from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. You may be seated. Let us pray. Almighty and merciful God, you have ordered our earthly life that we must walk by faith and not by sight. Give us such trust in your fatherly care that we show our faith by our courage in the things that we face in the way of challenges. We pray that you would bless the words of my lips and the meditation of our hearts, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, make us most fitting servants of your holy will. We ask this through Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Vineyards and grapes, yummy fresh fruit that crunches when you bite into it. Or maybe a full-bodied glass of wine as you relax at night. God's vineyard is an image that most people can understand. Even if we don't grow grapes, at some point in our lives, we have a lawn or a garden to look after, and we know what a mess we can get into when weeds take over and choke out the foliage we desire to see. It takes a lot of work to keep weeds away. This reminds us of our deep need to turn our hearts over to God, who is the vine dresser. Our first reading tonight from Isaiah was a song that was sung by the Israelites at the Feast of Booths or Tabernacles, a week-long celebration commemorating the 40 years the Israelites spent wandering in the desert, as well as the completion of harvest due to the time of year it was. The lyrics are often written to show the nation how far they had fallen away from God. The lesson says that the master of the vineyard had a land, and he cleared it, and he planted a vineyard, and he protected it, and he watched over it to ensure the best of everything for those grapevines to be fruitful and multiply. He also built a wine vat to make wine at harvest. But then something happened. The grapes grew, and they were wild grapes instead of the cultivated grapes that they had planted. These grapes were were inferior in size, and they were actually bitter tasting. What was the master to do? Isaiah was using this parable to teach the Israel people all good, excellent ways that God cares for his people and how unfaithful they actually were to him. The lesson continues. God then puts his judgment on them. He removes the hedges of protection, and the walls are broken down so that wild animals would evade and trample the grapevines. He also made it that there would be weeds and no rain. God calls the people of Jerusalem and Judea to judge the vineyard, and in doing so, they are convicted of their own sins, and they didn't like that at all. There was a price to be paid for their rebellion. We also see this rebellion in the people from our gospel lesson from Matthew. At the start, the parable that Jesus tells is quite similar to the vineyard story in the book of Isaiah, but this one takes even a worse turn. Jesus was speaking to the chief priests and the elders as he began the parable in the same way. The landowners built a beautiful vineyard, complete with a tower and a wine press. Then he leased it to the tenants and the farmers who were there to care for the land and the vineyard. This parable was more direct about the people, though. Given the familiar biblical image in the Old Testament, the religious authorities would have known right away that Jesus was referring to God's people as his vineyard, and the caretakers or tenants were them. They got the message. He's talking to us. They were angry with Jesus for calling out their sin, and they continued to plot to kill him. However, their plans were delayed because they were afraid of the retribution of Jesus' followers. In his parable, Jesus is talked about killing the master's representatives, including his son, for his ill-gotten gains of the tenant farmers. Going to the text, the tenants took his servants and beat one, and killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants, more than the first, and they did the same to them. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and have his inheritance." And they took him away and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. Whether or not they saw themselves as the killers of the master's son, the killing of God's son by their hand seemed to be understood by them. Yet the accusation of their sin did not bring them to repentance. Instead, it hardened their hearts even more as they waited for an opportunity to put an end to this prophet called Jesus. In our second lesson, Paul addresses the unrighteousness of the Judaic law as he continues in his letters to the Philippians. He begins by calling himself completely righteous under the law. He cites, "If anyone else thinks he has a reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, and as to righteousness under the law, blameless." Paul, as a Jewish man, he would have been the model for those who wanted to be good members of the Israelites. He had a genealogy from the land of from the line of Jacob. He was a member of the Sanhedrin, the highest court of justice, and the Supreme Council in ancient Jerusalem as a Pharisee, therefore a rabbi and a teacher. He had the will to protect the Jewish faith by attackers and defending the nation of Israel against perceived enemies. All of these actions would make him appear righteous to the Jewish people. But then we know what happened. On the road to Damascus, he met Jesus, and his story changed dramatically. Paul now became the initial true preacher of Jesus' kingdom. He recognized Jesus as God's long-awaited son. He recognized Jesus as the promised Messiah, as God's son. the one in whom redemption and salvation is found. He recognized all things he had before were worthless in comparison to having Jesus in his life. Jesus, who came to him in a flash of light, was now his all in all. Back to our second reading for a moment. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I counted everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus as my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and counted them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. Paul understands that no matter what or how much we have in this world, it's fleeting and it'll pass away. Even being a good person who follows the law of man doesn't earn anyone righteousness before God. What things have you done that you and things that you cling to that have made you feel good about yourself? How are those unimportant when it comes to your salvation? Righteousness only comes from faith in Christ alone. The works done by Jesus in his death. The resurrection has given us the only righteousness that God recognizes. The righteous will suffer as they become disciples to follow Jesus. Each day we will die and be raised again in the newness of life, as in the day we were baptized. Going back to the text one more time. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. But how often do we forget what we've been given? So at least twice in the last year, I've been late for a meeting or an appointment, and I haven't been able to find my car keys. I'm sure you've all been there. I was certain that my husband or one of my kids had misplaced them. I frantically run from room to room, assigning blame. Who used my keys? I put them right here on the counter, and now they're gone. They didn't just vanish into thin air. Who picked them up? Who used them? Where are they? I'm late. And right when I'm about ready to order mass execution, I walk into my bedroom one last time, huffing and puffing and moaning and groaning, and I dump my purse on the bed. I find my keys. They've been there the whole time. Every time I tell this story, people can relate, and rightfully so. Who frantically looks for their car keys where they should be? Me. It's true. But this is the way we all typically live, frantically and frustratingly searching for something we already have. The gospel is God's good news announcement that everything we need, we already possess in Christ. And those juicy first fruits that we have are to be given to him. Because Jesus finished the work, Christians already have all the justification, approval, significance, security, freedom, validation, love, and righteousness that we are desperately looking for. And we look for in all those smaller things, and we have it right there in Jesus Christ. As disciples, we look forward to the reward given to us in Christ Jesus. Looking back and hashing over the bad memories isn't the way Christians should act. Just as God forgives us our sins, we're to forgive others. We shouldn't be looking backwards, but be moving forward to the day of the fulfillment of Christ's promise for you. God calls us to follow Christ as citizens of both kingdoms, the world and heaven. As we march on as Christian soldiers, we hold the cross of Christ before us. God calls you in your baptism to be forgiven as he has forgiven us. He calls you in your baptism to be the beautiful child he sees you as. He sees you as blameless for the sake of Jesus Christ. God calls you justified and righteous as a free gift because Jesus sacrificed himself. God now calls you perfect as his own beloved son. He calls you to share in Christ's resurrection. As Christians, you will be raised from the dead of the earth and live eternally with God the Father. That is the good news. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please rise and we will sing our next hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Profess our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated and we'll continue with our prayers.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty God, strengthen and sustain all congregations who gather around your word and sacrament and venture forth to bring the good news of your redemption to all. May we be humble in our serving, counting all as a loss, which we do for ourselves, and all as a gain that Christ does in our lives. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of all creation, may the fields yield a fruitful harvest and bring forth an abundance so that all may find sustenance from the bounty of the earth. Feed those around the world that have little or nothing to eat. Provide assistance to teach people to grow food and feed their children. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, we love because you first loved us. Grant strength to all married couples that their lives would be a blessing to those around them and that they would model your love for your people as they live with you in the center of their lives. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for all who suffer with illness or pain. We remember especially We restore them to the health and wholeness and surround them with compassionate caregivers who remind them of your love for them and your never-failing presence. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, Almighty God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your abundant mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always. Please share the peace with one another. Peace be with you. Peace be with you, Nora. Peace be with you. Peace be with you.
Peace be with you. How are you?
Peace be with you. Peace be with you. We'll now collect the offering.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Merciful God, we offer with joy and thanksgiving what you have first given us, ourselves, our time, and our possessions, signs of your gracious love. Receive them for the sake of him who offered himself for us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
We lift up our hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is indeed right and salutary that at all times and in all places we should offer thanks and praise to you, O Lord, Holy Father, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us a way of everlasting life. And so with the church on earth and the hosts in heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. In which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup and he gave it to all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." For as often as we eat of this bread and drink of this cup, we proclaim Christ's death and resurrection until he comes again. Amen.
Amen.
Please join with me and pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated.